Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class. I'm so glad to have all of you with us. Let me begin by welcoming our guest. Our guest is Becky Levine, and we're going to get to her and introduce her in a moment. And we'll have time at the end for questions. Just a few things. I'm going to be recording all of your telephone numbers, and I will also be logging in all the blog comments today. I have a review of Becky's book on the blog, and so we'll put all of those things into a jar. And if you win, I will be posting it on my blog, which is at rightnowcoach.com. Just click on blog. And you can win a copy of Becky's wonderful new book, The Writing and Critique Group Survival Guide. So I'll definitely be recording your numbers, but please go ahead and put a comment on the blog, because that will help us. Help the blog, and it'll help you win a book. Next month, we welcome author Wade Rouse. Wade Rouse is a pretty well-known memoirist. And he's going to talk to us about how to write a memoir. His most recent book is The Hilarious, It's All Relative. But first today, we have Becky Levine. And Becky I found out about on Twitter. I kind of scour Twitter for writers and editors, and I found her and I saw this book. And for years, people have been saying, you know, why don't you do a call on critique groups? And I always say I have had nasty experiences with critique groups. I'd never do something like that. But I think it's really important because critique groups can be incredibly helpful. So let me tell you about a little bit about Becky. Becky Levine is a freelance writer and editor living in California's Santa Cruz Mountains. She has almost 20 years of experience with critique groups and knows both the challenges and benefits of making the critique process work. Becky writes for children and teens, and she is a popular speaker at writers' clubs and conferences. She's here to discuss her latest book, The Writing and Critique Group Survival Guide. You can find a review of her book at my blog, which is at rightnowcoach.com. If you are here and you leave a comment on the blog today, you're going to be entered into a drawing to win a copy of Becky Levine's book, The Writing and Critique Group Survival Guide. So I'll be copying down your phone numbers, but please leave a comment, too. So, Becky, why don't we just start with the general question, you know, tell us how you became a writer and how this all kind of came together.
How you got
the Writing and Critique Group Survival Guide.
Okay. Well, I should probably tell you, actually, my last name is Levine. I should have mentioned
Levine.
I'm sorry. Nope. It's always done that way. So don't worry about it. I need to remember to tell people. So I have actually been writing since I was a kid. I did lots of workshops in college. One of the roots of this book, I got to take writing workshops from Oakley Hall, who was one of the founders of the Squaw Valley writing community, and he taught his writing workshops on a critique basis, which was the first time, it was really the first time I'd hung out with writers. I grew up in a very small town, none of my friends wrote, and it was incredible. It was just one of the best experiences, and I just thought, this is how you learn to write, this is how you do it. And then, you know, 30-some years later, I got the chance to do the book.
Wow.
I got really serious with the writing. This probably happens to a lot of us when I ended up staying home with my son when he was born. He was in, you know, preschool and some daycare and elementary school, and I don't like cleaning. So
yeah.
Gave me the time to really get focused and really get some projects going. And then I was telling you briefly, I got the chance to write the book when I met Jane Friedman at a writer's conference and found out the Writer's Digest did not have a book on critique groups. And it was just one of those open doors that I try and push myself through and avoid the fear and say
wow.
Yes. The thing that amazed me is I was in Ohio at the conference and I didn't have a flight the next day until about 1 o'clock, and I got up and I got to the airport and the outline just pretty much was done by the time I got on the plane.
That wow.
Was how I've been thinking about this without realizing how much I needed to write about it for a while. So
that is amazing.
It was pretty cool.
So I'm curious about, you know, obviously you've had some good experiences with critique groups or you couldn't have written this book. So how have critique groups or maybe, you know, working with a partner really supported you as a writer?
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of groups versus just one partner, although one partner is a good way to start. I do think you get some dynamics, some of which can be challenging, but some of which are incredibly beneficial with more than one person. But they support me. I am more productive when I am accountable. I just write more when I'm in a critique group. I really like having someone at the other end to look at what I've written, not just sticking it in a pile. They keep me thinking about my story. I get together every 2 weeks, and we talk about writing, and we're talking about our projects, and it keeps it at the front of my mind, which it's very easy with life to let that slide into the back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I spent about a year passing around a book to agents a couple of years ago, and got some very nice rejections, got some requests to send me more of my writing later, but, you know, that can be tough, and actually it's a wonderful support group to have when you're going through that kind of that part of the process. And then, so really mostly motivation and support, and then I just learn from it. We keep learning about it.
That is great.
Yeah.
So tell me about the different types of critique groups. You know, I know there are internet ones and in-person ones, but kind of lay it out for us
okay.
so we kind of get a sense of
yeah.
what's out there.
In the book, I lay down some basics for ways to get started, but I, especially since I've been talking since the book comes out, I have seen just every variety of group. You can do an in-person group. There are thousands of online groups out there. You can critique with people who are writing in the same genre with you, and if you're a kids writer, that can be as narrow a range as picture books or YA paranormal, or it can be all kids writing. You can write mysteries, again, with paranormal or not. That's big these days. Or you can be in a group where everybody writes whatever they want, which actually is the kind of group I'm in right now because we've been critiquing together so long and they're all so brilliant that I'm not losing them. You can critique in a small group, and I do like three or four at a minimum. There are also big groups out there that have mentors and teachers and people come and go more flexibly. And then really, there is every kind of structure. I'm a big advocate of keeping things kind of organized and committed to a certain schedule and getting stuff out there to people ahead of time. But I've talked to people who do it successfully and happily in all sorts of ways, some of which are much more bring what you have to a meeting and see what happens.
Mm.
So there's a big range. And the bottom line, really, and I'll probably be repeating myself on this through here, is trust and respect and talking about what you need from the group.
Okay. So how do you find a good match? You know, I think most difficult critique groups was a first group I was in, and I was writing picture books, and everybody else was writing full-length novels, and some were
right.
writing thrillers. And so, you know, when I was dealing with 120 words and they were dealing with 50,000 words,
right, you were doing a lot of reading.
I was doing a lot of reading, but they, you know, the perception of what works or what's important was
right.
very different. What came
right.
out of that group, and I mentioned it on the blog today, was a very good friend who's been a critique partner for many years.
Right.
So tell us, how do we find, like, the right critique group?
Right. So the first thing to do is spend some time thinking about what you want, what your goals are really. And some of those are just the basics like I talked about, like are you really happy online or would you rather meet face to face? Do you want to critique with, like you said, people who are writing picture books only, or are you kind of experimenting and want to write with people who are doing everything? And then the first thing you do after you think about what you want is really look around and see if you know anyone you already trust, because I honestly believe that if you've got the right amount of ability to communicate and share what you're wanting and trust the person to listen, that you can make this all work.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look for, I really think writing clubs and classes are really great places to start meeting people online or in person, because it gives you time to get to know them. So you don't have to rush in. You know, you don't have to say, oh, I need a critique group. Oh, look, there's one with a spot. I'm in. If you're in a 6-week class, especially a class that does critiques, you're going to get a good feel for what people are writing, for how they critique, for how they respond to your critiques, you know, for who does really dig in and who really isn't yet at the point to be doing strong critiquing. One of the biggest things to know about yourself and about what you're looking for is where you are on this path. And there is no wrong place. I know people who have been writing for a very short time but are fantastic critiquers because they're strong readers.
Mm.
And so, you know, it can be a mix, but you need to know how you're going to feel if you're writing, say, a chapter a month and everybody else is writing 3 chapters a week. And you need to know how you're going to feel if you're really starting out critiquing, so you're nervous about what your comments are going to be, and you walk into a group where they've been critiquing together for 5 years and really just get it. So it's really assessing yourself honestly and then being willing to take a few risks. So if you do walk into a group where you feel like people are more advanced, ask for some help.
Okay.
See if they're willing to mentor you through it a little bit. But really, you know, again, conferences, talk to people. I do love classes as an idea to meet people, writing clubs if you've got regional groups. And then online, there are so many writing. If you're a kids writer, you need to be at SCBWI. If you're a mystery writer, you should be looking at MWA and Sisters in Crime, Romance, RWA. Look at their national and regional sites. See if there's boards where there people are advertising critique groups. And then there are critique sites that you can drop in. You can grab a few manuscripts from people on, and download them and do their critiques, and then you can ask for critiques and see who you get. It can be a little more random, but if you spend some time there, you may find two or three people that you want to set up your own Yahoo critique group with, and that's who you end up going with. So it's a good filtering way to go.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'm still a little nervous about online critiques, and I think that's the question I get most from authors is, you know, are people going to steal my stuff? Do you cover that in the book?
I didn't cover it in the book. I wrote an article for Writer's Digest about online critiquing and talked to people. And really, it's first of all, I'm writing my book. I don't want to steal yours. And it doesn't seem to happen. They're very secure. It's only for people who, you know, have set up that they are there. There are often moderators who kind of walk around and see how people are talking to each other. Everybody I talked to who moderates one of those sites said it just doesn't happen. That's not what people are coming there for.
Most
of the people are coming there really, really wanting to find some help, you know, that they've got their story they want to tell, and they're really looking for people to help them tell it better.
Yeah. Now, as a writer, one of the things that Stephen King talks about is keeping the door closed when you're writing. Do you usually have people critique your stuff while you're still writing the first draft, or do you wait till you're done with the first draft?
I need people to critique at first draft, but I think that I am maybe one of the more rare people. Actually, in my group, we do a lot of early draft critiques, but that's, again, we've got... Some of us have been critiquing 20 years together.
Okay.
Almost. So the trust of I'm going to show you garbage and you need to recognize that it's garbage, but I still need help, is there. And we're also pretty thick-skinned at this point. So what I recommend is the group needs to be flexible on everybody's style. If somebody needs to send the first draft through because it helps motivate them to keep writing and lets them talk about character development, voice as they're developing it, then that group should be prepared to read very rough stuff and not be copy editing. If somebody says, I have to go into my cave, I have a friend who uses that phrase, and write my first draft, but I don't want to leave the group while I'm doing that, and I'm going to keep critiquing, and I may need some brainstorming sessions, then the group should support that. Because everybody has a different style, and a group needs to be flexible. There is a lot of kind of writing work that is not actually putting chapters on the page, and we all know that.
That's great. So what are your tips for making a critique group work? And, you know, a lot of us have horror stories. So clearly there are some things that you can do kind of ahead of time that make it, you know, less traumatic.
Yes. And actually one of the trickier places that this is when you walk into an established group. If you are setting up your own group or inviting people in, then you have some control. And one of the best things you can do is talk to each other about what you expect and want this group to be. A friend of mine says that when they had a group going and they realized they needed some more people, they basically put out like a dating ad. Here's who we are. Here's who we're trying to, you know, hook up with. And very specific about you need to be committed to coming this often. We're, you know, expecting, you know, so much work, although I'm not crazy about, you know, minimum submission requirements. And here's who we're looking for, and you need to have this level of experience, you need to be committed to getting toward publication, this is what they were very interested in. And then if there's a problem, you've at least said it ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then really talk about it if there's a problem. I can't tell you, and I'll probably get into this later, how many times people will come up to me at workshops and say, so this happened, and then I couldn't believe it because this happened, and I'll say, did you talk to them? And they'll go, well, no. Like, they can't read your mind. If you're having a problem, bring it up respectfully. Really, the biggest thing to make a critique group is commitment to showing up, a commitment to doing the best and deepest critique you can, and to being flexible enough to support each other through these various stages of writing and revising. And everybody shifts where they are on different projects and what they're feeling like. And if somebody's worried about the fact that they won't be writing for a while, they should let the people know that instead of just having the other people in the group think, wow, they're not doing anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But really, the biggest thing for us is that we are all committed to making progress on our writing, and we are committed to being there every 2 weeks and getting our work read and producing work. And that the gaps I find are most often commitment gaps versus, it's not really a skill gap. It's much more a commitment. And, you know, some of that is not a bad thing. If you are there to write, to learn how to write, and you just want to do it casually, there's nothing wrong with that. But if another person in the group is committed in a different way, then you can have a conflict. But, you know, talk it out. Talking it out is the biggest thing. I'm amazed at how many times problems go on without anybody bringing it up.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I was really struck by in your book was how important and how much stress you put on kind of describing the kind of feedback you want. Can you talk a little bit about why this is so important and how this can really avoid kind of drama?
Yes. Because, again, we're all – one of the things people don't often – I'm often surprised is that there are critique groups where they sort of expect to see the manuscript one time and that's it. Whereas our group really supports you through multiple drafts. So if you are critiquing through multiple drafts, then really what you want at a different stage is very different. If I'm writing a first draft, I don't really want to have you marking my commas. Unless you really see like a glaring thing that I don't know, you could mark a few and put a note in, you know, this is how you use the comma, politely. if I have a deadline and one of the critique partners I have has two series out, and she has very tight deadlines. Well, when she asks us to read the last thing through for consistency and continuity and anything that she absolutely can't send it out for, she's going to get a little irritated if we hit her with, well, you know, I'm wondering if really the character could be doing this because that would make it really interesting in a different way, you know, and her book's due in 2 weeks. So, but again, we can't read minds about what people want back from us. And the other thing is it is that kind of protective thing. If I know that there are writers who, when they get early draft critiques, feel like, if it's too intense, it can stall them out, that they will start worrying too much about that deep of critique and that they won't be able to write. So they need to let people know that what they're looking for is really more of a brainstorming critique. Like, you might do this, you can think about this, but they can't really hear and work with, this is wrong, because that will stop them from writing. So it's, again, it's just part of that communication thing. If we just hand in chapters, the odds that we're going to get what we're looking for are pretty slim.
Wow.
And again, when you jump into a new critique group, they may have patterns and you may feel like you're too nervous to describe what you want, but you're really going to help yourself and them if you do.
That makes sense. So now, one of the things that maybe a new critique member might need to know is, how is reading as a critiquer different from just reading that we all do all the time? I mean, obviously, Even those of us who are just reading for pleasure also have some sort of critical thinking going on, but I think it's different when you're critiquing to help another writer. So tell us how that's different.
It's very different. Yes. Well, the first thing I tell people is no skimming or skipping, and everybody laughs. But, I mean, I have wonderful books, favorite books that I read over and over in a series, but, like, I'll skim through the battle scenes, right? So a lot of the fantasy novels that I just like to read for pleasure have a lot of battle scenes. Well, they don't bother me, but that's not really what I'm there for. My son is just horrified. What do you mean you skip the battle scene? It's wonderful. I'm like, yeah. More rifle. But we can't do that on critiquing because, actually, if we're skimming, then maybe the author could have tightened something up a bit. And so if we find ourselves pulling out of the book, that's actually the place we need to look more closely.
Okay.
And then the other thing we talk about is you really have to push yourself past your emotional reactions, whether they're good or bad, to figure out the why behind them. And we all do have emotional reactions, whether we're reading for pleasure or whether we're critiquing. We don't have to worry about it if it's a book we're just, you know, taking to the beach. But we do have to worry about it if it's something that the author has asked us to help them with. So you need to start thinking about the why, and I think we're probably going to talk about that a little more with other questions, but why are you happy with this scene? And those are just about as important as why are you bored here, or why are you confused, or why are you irritated with the character? So you have to start to figure out what's going on in the manuscript to help the author. And then the other thing is just to remember that you've made a commitment to help and that you need to, you know, sometimes it can be uncomfortable because there's something we really don't like in something we're reading and we worry about hurting the feelings. There are respectful ways to say strong critiques so that you can do it without attacking the writer, but it is also disrespectful not to address that problem, I think.
I think that's helpful. And, you know, one of the things I just want to follow up with on this question with, I think one of my most frustrating things as a recipient of critiques and as a coach, I do a lot of writing teaching, and I really despise it when students say, well, I like this or I hate this, because that tells me nothing.
Exactly. Yes.
You know,
yes. And hate is actually yuck.
Yeah.
I hope that word doesn't belong in a critique. Yeah.
When you say push beyond the emotional reaction, is love and hate an emotional reaction? Is that where we should be asking why? Tell me a little bit more about how
love and hate is a very emotional reaction, and even those get broken down into more specific emotional reactions. Because hate is often this is flat, or this is going on too long, or the dialogue isn't saying anything interesting, and so. You really have to, the thing that emotional reaction is a red flag for you to not just keep reading. Okay, so, I mean, again, if you're falling in love with something, you may not have to diagnose why, but I am a big advocate of smiley faces in the margin, or wow, this is great, because that just makes you feel wonderful, and also the author can look at what they did and compare it to a passage that maybe didn't work as well, and see if they can, you know, transfer that skill over to that revision. In terms of the negative, it really, you got to get past, I don't like this. So the first thing is, I don't like this. Okay, well, why? Well, I'm bored, or I'm confused, or they're not talking to each other about anything, or there is no, the characters aren't worrying about the problem that was just, you know, hit them. They're just off dancing when there's this big crisis, you know. You have to get to what's going on, because that's why your partner has come to you. It's very hard to find these, what's underlying the problems in our own writing. Otherwise, we wouldn't have written it.
Exactly.
And the fresh eyes that push past the don't like or like are the ones that are really going to be helpful.
Oh, that's good. So what are some other things that we can do to offer helpful, clear critiques to our writing group partners?
Okay, so I talk about three things that you can do when you're doing critique. Well, one of the things, and this is a side note, but I'm a big, big advocate of critiquing ahead of the critique group meeting, which I know a lot of people don't do because they don't have time, but if they can make it work, I think you have more time to think about the critique and also more time to critique at the meeting instead of spending it reading. But when you're reading, you've got to read deeply to figure out what is and isn't going on, and then I say that you want to try and do three things. So you want to explain, you want to give examples, and you want to make suggestions. So you're going to explain what you think is not happening as clearly as possible in writing. You're going to show or point to some examples in the text where that problem is occurring so they can look at their manuscript and go, oh, okay. And if at all possible, and this is one of the hard ones, you can try making some suggestions for revisions that might make it better. The critiquer needs to remember that these are just suggestions. They are not telling the writer they have to do this, because I've heard a lot of people complain about, well, I told them to do this and they never made that change. Well, that's not the point. The point of a suggestion is that it is another way for the writer to look at what they're doing and another way for the critiquer to explain the problem they're seeing. So it's just three ways, a straightforward explanation. Let them see what you're seeing in the manuscript, and then think about if, you know, play with dialogue a little bit just to show them what you're shooting for. It's going to be their dialogue to write, but it's another way to let them see what would be different. And those are the biggies, I think, is explain, give examples, and suggest. And again, I'm a big fan of doing an overall written-up critique along with your margin notes because, and we'll talk about revision later, but it's a huge gift when the writer goes back to revise.
Yeah. That. So let's just turn to one specific genre. I'm curious about fiction. And if I'm reading your fiction chapter or manuscript, what are some of the big picture items that I should be looking for?
Okay, well, the first thing is, and this is how I've broken the book up, is to look at the big elements of fiction. So what's the plot doing? What are the characters growing and changing? Does the scene have a tight structure? Is the description active? Is the dialogue doing more than just speaking words? And is there a strong voice? Would you feel like you'd recognize the narrator when you walked into them on the street? You know? And then, so you're going to start, and that's one of the ways to come at a critique, is if you find yourself having a problem with something but you're not sure what, you can start looking, well, is it a character problem? Is it a plot problem? Is it a dialogue problem? Is that what's going on? That kind of help you narrow your focus a little bit. The other thing that is really big is that we need them to keep turning the pages. We need them to be caught up, and that's about tension and conflict. So, you know, are there problems happening? Is the character going for a goal and running into obstacles? Are they making you nervous about what will happen to them?
Mm.
And then the other thing, and this is one of the reasons I really advocate if you can help your critique partners by doing full reads of their manuscript at the end, is
mm-hmm.
consistency. It's really hard to write several drafts of a manuscript and, you know that this person had the pink shirt there and then later, but also just watch the pattern of the characters across the whole novel. Watch if the plot tension increases for most of the novel or if it drops suddenly in the middle, which we all end up doing. Again, when you're working on it piece by piece as a critiquer, you may not notice that. And when you're, you know, revising back and forth as the writer, it's hard to see it. But if your critique group can read all 200 to 300 pages, obviously not in 2 weeks, but in an extra amount of time, and watch for that kind of stuff, that can be really helpful too.
Wow. So if... you know, I mean, I know you're in a critique group with multiple genres, and I know that,
It started out as a mystery group. We all were writing mysteries. That was
wow.
That was actually why I formed it, because I was writing a mystery and I needed people who knew the genre, but now we've all gone different ways.
So you've all spread out. So how...
Yes, we have.
You know, how does it work when maybe someone's writing in a genre that either you don't like or don't know? I mean, I'm thinking about myself, and I actually read pretty widely, but the one genre I'm not crazy about is romance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, you know, the things that I would think are just cheesy might be, like, fine, you know?
Right,
they might just
right.
be perfect in the genre. So how do you, how much experience do I need as a critique partner in a specific genre?
Well, you can't take it over for the person who's writing the book. I mean, one of my things is if you know, say that you're writing romance and that's all you're going to write and you're looking for a group, then go look for a romance critique group.
Mm.
Because, yes, it's just, although romance has such wide, all of these have such wide parameters, but, you know the person's going to be reading in that genre for their pleasure, they're going to be more experienced with the current market, and it's going to be great. And like I said, we started as a mystery group, and it was wonderful. And then I went into kids writing, and then we've changed around, and we have nonfiction, and we have sort of epic historical, and we have fantasy and one mystery writer now.
Wow.
And what we try and do is, first of all, it is kind of your responsibility as the writer to really know your genre, and I really think it's important to know the current market, not because you're going to write to it, but because that's the reality of what's being published. And so we sort of, I think, listen to each other. So if I start to question something in the mystery, I will respect the mystery novelist if she says, well, but actually that's not what happens in the genre.
Mm.
It can be very frustrating if someone who doesn't read that genre keeps pushing at you to do something that won't work. And I also sort of, I'm trying to, so like I need to be reading all the YA and all the historical YA I can so that I have a sense that I can share with my critique partners. But the other thing you can do is you can pass around books and ask people to read a couple. Not, you know, not just run-of-the-mill, oh, get used to it, but this is what I've read in the last year that's really good. These are the top of the genre, and there's something in here that I'm shooting for. Can you read these so you've got some familiarity? I mean, we, you know, it's a lot of reading, but we all luckily are strong readers. And it does widen your base, I think. So, again, I think if you're starting out and you know that there is only one thing you are going to write, then it can be really good to find a group doing that. And what I'm doing personally is, again, my critique partners are brilliant, and I am at a point where, yes, the YA part is important, but I can work on that myself at this point. I'm just on my second draft of this. I am also trying to cultivate a few more online relationships with other kid writers.
Mm.
So that I can do swaps sort of 4 or 5 drafts in and offer back and forth and really get somebody who knows that market. So you end up stretching yourself a little bit, I think. But I also know people who write in a specific genre and don't feel the need to do that, even though their critique group is varied. So it kind of becomes a personal preference. I think the more you know, I mean, I think you're right, the more you know about the genre you're writing in, the better, and to have people who really know it at least be readers, if not weekly, you know, or biweekly critiquers, I think is really helpful.
Well, that's good advice. So let's move a little bit to nonfiction. And again, you know, nonfiction is just like huge. It's like everything that's nonfiction, including memoir, which maybe shares more things with fiction. So
memoir is sort of its own little world.
It is. What are some, you know, basic things that maybe as a nonfiction critiquer I need to think about?
Well, I'm actually a very picky nonfiction reader, which I think is helpful in terms of critiquing it. I really need to be helped on my nonfiction. You know, I can pick up a novel that is so-so and enjoy parts of it, although less than I used to be able to, unfortunately. And nonfiction, you've got to get me. Was one of the reasons I was trying so hard to make this book readable, because it's such a challenge, I think. So for me, I want nonfiction, especially if it's a how-to or a self-help, that is really going to make it easy for me to find what I want. So unlike fiction readers who tend to read from beginning to end, although my mother tends to skip to the end, which drives me crazy, you get two types of readers with nonfiction, especially self-help or how-to, right? You get the ones that will read the book from beginning to end, but you also get the ones who want to dip in.
Yeah.
And so I think, first of all, the table of contents is critical. You really need to tell them what's in there. And then I think finding a structure that means that your reader can drop in anywhere and know what's going on is really important. That I sent my a how-to chapter through my group, just that chapter, so that I could get the structure right, that it would be really accessible. And I also think that the information you're going to give them has to be truly helpful. So, and I'm talking a lot about how-to and stuff here, but if you're going to give them exercises, make them real exercises that they can really use. If you get more into, like, travel writing and some memoir, I need to be entertained. I need the voice. Voice for me in nonfiction is really important. I want to believe that you have something to share with me, but that you're not going to make it hard for me to understand. Does that make sense?
Wow. Yeah.
You need to be a very good either entertainer. So if I'm reading a travel memoir, what's the guy from Monty Python who has the travel stuff? He just has a wonderful, it's called Sahara. I had no interest in reading that, but you're just pulled all the way through because his voice and what he chooses to tell you is so fantastic. But I think so your voice has to be sort of at once reassuring and trustworthy, and at the same time, I know I'm going to get everything I need. So it doesn't want to feel too easy, like I'm not really going to find the meat I want there, but I have to believe that you're going to be able to explain it to me in a way I understand. And again, like I said, I'm a very picky nonfiction reader. But that to me is the structure and organization, and then that clarity and that voice is what's going to keep me reading.
That's really helpful. Those are some very clear things. And I think it's good to be a picky nonfiction reader. That's really helpful. So one of the things that I thought was interesting from your book is that I think, probably just looking at your book, I can probably use your tools to critique my own work. And maybe one of the hardest things I think to do as a writer is I would come home from critique groups and just go, well, I don't know what to do now that they gave me all these different, you know, this person loves this passage, this person hates this passage.
Right.
You know,
right,
this person feels like, you know, maybe someone loves description, so my description works, but the other person doesn't like description. So how do I just, like, take all these comments and figure out what to do with my book?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I really say is don't rush into the revision. And this has a lot to do with if you're sending even not your first draft but your second or any early drafts through where you're still really getting to know your story. If you go home, say, you know, the way we do it is we bring two or three chapters every 2 weeks, and then we bring that home. I will not go back and critique and revise from that until I'm finished with this draft. I will make notes, and I will think about it, but I won't do any revision because I still know that so much is going to change that I could spend a lot of time and energy and just confuse myself more. So that's the first thing, is if you can keep writing forward and stack your critiques, which is why that overall write-up is so handy, then I think that's a really good thing. But at some point, you're going to have to sit down and do it, and you are going to have these multiple opinions, and that's, like I said, one of the challenges of having a group with 4 to 6 people, but one of the big benefits. The longer you're with this group, which is another reason not to rush into it, the more you're going to get to know people's patterns and what they want that you may or may not think works right now. But you're also going to have just a much stronger base on your story, what you really know it's about, what you can see the character is doing, even if you haven't managed to get it on the page, and you're going to have a better context to put these critiques against in your own mind, in your understanding of things. And that's really what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to weighing what someone else thinks against what you know. Now, the thing is that what can happen is often the things we hear and we really don't want at the beginning are the things that are really going to pay off if we can open our mind to them. So you can walk out, you know, we've all had that feeling, you hear someone say stuff and you're like, yeah, no way. Well, yeah. 3 months later, when you're really looking at it and you've written for a while longer, you can see that this may be pushing you in a way that looks hard, but boy, what it would do to your story. And that's one of the things that's what you have to force yourself to keep open. It may not. It may be the thing that still doesn't feel right, and you don't have to put any critique in that you don't want to, but you need to stay open to it. The other thing to remember is that, and I've started realizing this in the last few years, one of the hardest things to do is that explanation that I was talking about, is to explain why you're having a negative reaction. To figure it out is really hard. So what I find myself doing is, even when I read a critique that someone says and I think, that's just not the right thing to do, that's not right, I still make myself go back and reread that passage, and often I see what's not working then. I mean, I've put some distance for myself because I haven't looked at it for a while, but they've kind of highlighted that there's a problem here, and I can almost see what they're close to getting at, but really it's this. And so I make sure I do pay attention to every critique, even if I don't think they're on track. So it becomes a balancing act of, I've asked these people for help. I've got 4 people telling me something. I need to figure out what works for me. But I also need to remember that they're looking at the words I made on the page. So they may be right. Maybe I just haven't gotten what's in my head there yet. So the painful ones you have to make yourself look at a little more than you want to, because it may be the magic critique. But again, don't rush into it, because you can spend a lot of time playing with words when what really you need to be doing is figuring out who this character is more.
So do you have a habit then, when you go back to revise, of just kind of reading through all the critiques chronologically through your book, and then kind of making a, do you make like some sort of a priority list? How do you manage all that?
Right. Well, again, because I've been writing the whole draft, I've been thinking about it for a while, so I have some ideas. But what I typically do is I will read the overall critique, and then I will put it away. So I'll take like a chapter at a time. So I'll read an overall critique, and I'll kind of put that aside, and then I'll go into the line-by-line comments, and I'll change the really easy things first, like, oh, yeah, that shirt did change color, I can fix that. Or, oh, he never did use that gun I gave him in this chapter, get rid of the gun. Those things, they just make you feel great. You just check them off, you're revising, you're making progress. And then you go back to the sort of like, oh, that is really an unclear paragraph, let me play with the wording there. So you kind of work yourself up to the tough level. But I really recommend reading that overall through, because as you go through and make the other changes, it'll be simmering. And the big problems and the big ideas will be kind of developing in your head. And then I go back and I look at those, and I will try and address them in that chapter. Again, depending on what draft you're at, like on this draft, what I'll end up probably doing is doing it chapter by chapter. The further you get into a manuscript, and you'll know this, say you're on your 4th or 5th draft and you've got a critique, somebody's going to call out to you that, oh, look, this isn't consistent with the character. You need to change this on page 10. You're going to look at page 10, and you're going to change that, and you're going to go, oh, well, that now changes it in 3 other places that maybe the critique didn't get. You're going to need to go through your whole manuscript and carry this revision through to weave that thread all the way through. But that comes later on when everything's kind of pulling tight together and you're cleaning up. In those early drafts, I really do work chapter by chapter, and I will be submitting those again as I go along, and then not working on them again until I'm all the way through. So I'll start with the really easy things, and then I'll build to the big issues, but I'm still kind of working mostly scene by scene. I might take it over into the next scene if I know that there's a connection.
Wow. That's very helpful. It's always good to hear about how another writer works and how that.
Yeah, revision,
I think,
is a challenge.
It really is. It's as much work, I think, as writing. I don't think people understand that, especially when we expect our first draft to be kind of our final draft.
Right. Well, and it's just, you know, it really is, I think, a personality thing, too. I actually don't like first drafts. Yes, I enjoy some of the freedom and the creativity, but I'm sort of a control freak. And so not knowing what's coming, I'm not real comfortable. When I have 200 pages that something happened in, I can go back and play with it, and I love that. I'm actually having fun on this next draft. I'm like that. My parents built their own house and designed it, and I'm like, oh, forget that. I could remodel. Don't ever ask me to design the whole thing.
Let me play with the walls that you
put in. Yeah, and yet, how many people, actually, we kind of took a vote the other day, and we're like half split in my critique group. We have 5, so it doesn't come out even. But about half of us love first drafts, and about half of us would rather be revising. And
wow.
I really think that's just personality.
Yeah, I agree.
And you got to work with the part you don't like to get to the part you want to do.
That's true. So, you know, let's go back to those horror stories. And what are some problems that typically come up in critique groups? And how do you just deal with them? You know, what are the, I mean, I know the best thing is talking to each other, but
what are
some other kind of typical problems and then troubleshooting?
Okay. Well, one of the most common you'll hear is an overly harsh critique where somebody felt like they were told they shouldn't write again. And, you know, there's no excuse for that, although I know people who know that they are that kind of critiquer and try and rein it in. They're just very, but they call it direct, and I'm pretty direct myself, and other people will take it as harsh. Again, but you can kind of mediate that by, like we talked about, letting somebody know what you're looking for. So I don't want to hear about that stuff yet. And you know, really, if there's somebody who's really being harsh, everybody in the group knows it except them. That's what I've seen happen. And what it takes is the person who's feeling the worst about it usually has to bring it up to the others, and then they really need to talk to the person and ask them to back it off. And they need to give them specific examples, because most of these people do not realize that's what they're doing. They just don't get it. The other thing is, I didn't label it in the book because I hadn't heard the term yet, but there's a sandwich critique, which is where you always start with something nice and you end with something good, and then you put the meat in the middle, and I think that's really important. It's not just manners, but it lets us hear the other stuff. If we know that we've done something right and there's always something right, then we realize that we can do it, and we're more ready to hear the more meaty stuff. And then the flip side of that coin is the really, really overly gentle critiques, the one where they love it, love it, love it. Oh, but you misspelled that word. Or you could use a comma here, which is just so frustrating for someone who really wants to change their book because they feel like they're not getting any help. And they know it's not that good. You know, it's the first draft. It's not that good. Those people, I think, are afraid to dig deeper and afraid that they will be overly harsh. Or they don't know how to do that figuring out. And I think that, again, it asks more of the group, but if they can do some mentoring and show that person in their critiques what they've found, and maybe push them to say to go back and say, like, next time don't worry about anything but character and see what you can come up with character and get them to start slowly rather than feeling overwhelmed at how much there is to do.
Wow.
The other big group to me is the big problem is people not showing up. That I hear over and over, you know, that the group, somebody didn't come for 6 weeks and then came back and expected to have 100 pages of theirs read, and they hadn't done the other stuff for anybody else, or forgetting the meeting. And I think, again, this is one of those things, be very clear about what you expect when someone joins, and remind them that they're not there. And, you know, people say, well, do you have to ask someone to leave, or what if you feel like you need to leave a group? I really do think that the first thing to try is talking. But there are going to be times when there is a person who is a problem in a group, and you may have to ask them to leave. And the best phrase I've ever come up with is, this doesn't seem to be the right fit for all of us. It's kind of a, you know, not really direct, but you don't have to insult people.
Yeah.
And you never have to attack anyone's writing when a critique group isn't working out, because that's very barely what it's about.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, every time you join, if you join a new group, you're going to be nervous, you're not going to feel totally comfortable for a while, and you need to give yourself time to test that. But if you are in a group and you are consistently feeling tired or drained or not wanting to write or coming away upset, then you need to think about not being in that group. And, you know, I keep thinking about it. You know, we all have a friend who stayed in a bad marriage because they're afraid of being alone or they won't find someone else. You know what? It's better to start looking for another group than to stay in one that's making you feel that way. So there are times you have to step up. But mostly it takes a little talking and a little education, I think. And just really people don't realize what they're doing sometimes.
Wow.
And it's hard. None of us like confrontation. None of us like feeling like we're talking about someone behind their back. But there are times when you have to work something out and then bring it to the group and present it to someone. And usually what happens is either they really wake up to what was going on and they change, or they find they're not as comfortable in that group because it's not meeting their expectations.
That sounds like great advice, and I like that.
It's
a miserable
situation, but, you know, it's our writing.
Well,
we have to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think probably had I been older, I was
well, yeah, oh yeah, oh yes, yes. But again, you know, it is amazing. I mean, I remember when I first started looking for groups, and I was lucky, and I also knew certain things I couldn't deal with. And I had the experience of being in that critiquing situation in college, which was so good. But I, you know, you found an opening and you dove in. And then you had to realize, oh, shoot, now I have to get out because this isn't working. And I didn't really think about it. So it really, if you can really orient on your goals, I think you save yourself some of that.
Yes, so that if you find out that the people are mentally ill before.
Right. Yes, well, and like a couple of my musts are I can't be in a critique group where we read at the meeting. For one thing, I can't focus. I don't think it gives me the time. I really can't be in a group where they read it out loud because I'm one of the people who doesn't take it in that way.
Yes.
And so, and the first groups I joined were people reading it out loud. And I'm like, this is not going to work. And I had, you know, I could have found that out ahead of time before going to like 3 meetings. That's the thing. So.
Well, I think this is a good time to open up for questions. We don't have a ton of time left because we've had so much to talk about. But if there's anybody on the call who has a question, this would be the time for you to ask it. So, and if you need to unmute yourself, I know some of you are on mute, you can do *7. So if you're muted, click *7 to ask your question. We've had this has gone so fast, a ton of information, and I think this is really going to help me when I start my next critique group.
Oh, great.
But it's also going to help me when, you know, well, in a couple ways. Also as a coach, as I critique other people's manuscripts, and as I look at my own manuscript, I think these questions are really good ones. Does anybody here have a question?
There was one thing I was going to mention if nobody has a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I know that people wonder about, you know, what the goal is, and I think with changing publishing and the way self-publishing is taking off and e-publishing and, you know, you're going to end up in some mixed groups, I think, where the goal is for some people agent and traditional publishing, and for some people it's not that goal. And the bottom line, I think, for everybody is that we all want our books to be the best they can.
Mm.
Not just for our own selves, but because whether we want an agent to approve of it or a reader to pass it on, word of mouth, it's got to be good. And I just think, that is one thing that we risk by if we think of self-publishing as too much of a shortcut.
Yep.
I think it's a great alternative. I think it has tons of possibilities. But I don't think it is a shortcut in terms of quality. And I do think that we lose that. I do know that a lot of publishers and agents truly do edit. And that's another reason for the critique group to keep going. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, and I agree. I think, you know, one of the things I think in terms of self-publishing is that you're going to get rejected at some point if your writing's not good enough. And so if you go ahead and get your book published and you have something you hand out, the reader's going to reject you if...
At some point, yes, it's going to happen.
It doesn't make sense.
Right, right. And so I just think really developing a group, that's the other thing, is that some of the strength I talk about just takes time to develop because you get to know each other's styles and you get better at critiquing. You know, every time you push yourself to explain to somebody what isn't working, you're learning more about the writing craft.
Hmm.
It just takes it. So, you know, you're going to see payoff the longer you can build a strong, stay with the group and build it into something strong. So.
Yeah, and so why complain about a book after it's published? Get connected with those authors now and tell them.
Exactly, exactly.
Help them make their books better.
That's right.
So as we're waiting for questions, what other things do you think that critiques groups can do to support each other?
Well, they can definitely write together. Depending on how big your group is and how productive people are being, you may end up with meetings where nobody has something to submit. So if you've got any kind of laptop or a notebook, get to the coffee house and write for that time. You know, set the timer, don't talk. Check in with each other every hour and then keep writing. Brainstorming is huge. You know, we actually slot time for brainstorming, same amount of time we would for a critique if we need it. So we'll send a note, I'm not sending any chapters, but can I have a half an hour for brainstorming and here's what I'm stuck on. And it can really, again, because you're working with people who know your story, so they can really come up with some good ideas. Again, like I said, be patient and give yourself time to try out that group. And then, you know, the other thing that can help is if you are shooting for traditional publishing and you're getting rejection letters, some of them, if you're lucky, say some things about what isn't working, but they're kind of hard to interpret sometimes. So you can bring that to the group, and again, they know your book. I'm planning on doing that with my picture book. I'm getting a few critiques back at the same time from professionals, and I'm not going to write another word on the revision until I take it to my group and get some brainstorming, because they've seen the picture book now two or three times. They're going to be able to help me come up with some ideas, I think, on how to make the changes that it's going to be pretty clear I need to make. So you just feel less alone, I think.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to ask you for a final tip, but first I want to just remind people of a couple of things. First of all, Becky Levine's book, did I get that right?
Yes.
Becky Levine's book is The Writing and Critique Group Survival Guide. I just read it. I think it's wonderful. And I think it's wonderful whether you're going to do a critique group or whether you just want to improve your own writing, because it's got really handy worksheets and checklists that will help you as a writer kind of think critically about your book or think critically about writing. And I think whenever you're putting together a new kind of book or article, it's important to start thinking, okay, what works and what doesn't work? And you can put those critique group glasses on as you're looking at other books in your field and as you're looking at your own work. So I think it's a great book. That's why I'm willing to give away my own copy to somebody on this class or somebody who signs up and leaves a comment on the blog. So Becky, go ahead and let your people and your blog know that they can win a copy of your book if they leave a comment on the blog.
Okay.
I'll be entering all your phone numbers in a little glass jar. we're very high tech here. I'll put everything into a little glass jar and let my daughter pick it out tomorrow morning. So anybody who comments on today's review or attended the class, and I will be doing the winners sometime tomorrow, so you have until tomorrow. Again, next month we meet the fourth Wednesday of the month at noon. Our guest is memoir author Wade Rouse, who's written some hilarious memoirs, and his newest book is called It's Relative. Becky, do you have a final tip to leave with us?
Yeah, I would say two things. If you're a new critiquer, you need to trust yourself. You've been reading a long, long time. You read more than most of your friends, and you do know what works and doesn't work. and then the other thing is, you know, we can all learn. Critiquing is, I really believe writing is something we can learn and get better at, and critiquing is the same thing. So if you're just starting out, be patient with yourself. Ask for help if you need it, and you will get stronger and stronger the more you do.
That's great. My blog is at rightnowcoach.com. There's a link to Becky Levine's blog and to her book from my blog, so you can check them both out there. Becky, thank you so much for being with us. This has been phenomenal.
This was great.
Okay, take care. Have a great day, everyone. And
you
remember
too.
To write, people.
Bye.
Write. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Rochelle.